First, the seventh verse. We'll read that together, please. Ready? I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Likewise, let's read the 10th verse. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I want you to turn now to Hebrews chapter 12. Page 1303 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read the first verse, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Okay, let's read together. Ready? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And let's pray. Father, how we thank you for this church. It's, of course, been here a long time, and many a fine person has been a member here, and a number, no doubt, in the hundreds of thousands back through the many years that this establishment has been on this corner. And yet we assemble here Sunday after Sunday, and the future's just as bright as it's ever been, and perhaps even brighter. Thank you for the man of God that you've given us. Thank you for the faithful preaching. And thank you for all the moms who've made it possible for all of us to be here. Bless, we pray, this special day, and bless, we pray, this message. Thank you for helping us to be here, for speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've been very fortunate in my life to have had what I think is the greatest mother. I have been very fortunate, likewise, to have for 54 and a half years to have lived with a person that I think is the best Christian I know, on whose prayer list I'd rather be than anybody's prayer list. There are three very important women in the service this morning to me. I want my lovely wife, my sister, and our daughter, Cindy. I thank God for them and all the other ladies who've had a part in my life. I'm going to ask you this morning to, if you are like me, if your mother is in heaven today, I'm going to ask you to stand, would you please? If your mother is in heaven, would you stand, all of you, please? And while you're standing, I'd like to say that my message this morning will be much of it directed to you. And thank you very much. You can be seated. Those of you who do not have mothers in heaven, no doubt you have a grandmother in heaven, or no doubt you have a mother-in-law. You wonder where she is. But I likewise went this week, in fact this morning, I went again to the place where my mother-in-law passed away, and I was there this week, and I, of course, this morning, I was at my mother's burial place where all that could die of her passed away. 50 years ago, last Friday, my father died with a heart attack. 50 years ago, yesterday afternoon, my father was buried on Mother's Day. Sunday afternoon on Mother's Day, 1950. And so Mother's Day has always been a very nostalgic day for me. And this morning, I want to speak on this subject. They are not gone. They're nearer than they were. They are not gone. They're nearer than they were. I told Mrs. Hiles on the way to church, I said, you're going to hear one of the most unusual sermons you ever heard in your life. I'm going to ask you to help me this morning a little bit. I want you to talk back to me some. Hold it. Wait a minute. I don't want you to say what you want to say. I want you to say what I want you to say, and I want you to help me a little bit, preach the sermon with audience participation. Father, I'd love to be a blessing this morning, and I think I have a subject that can be a blessing. I know I do. Help me to do justice to it as I speak, please. Amen. Let me begin by talking just a moment about the verses we read a while ago. We read a while ago two verses that deal with joy in the presence of the angels. The Bible says there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Now, if that joy in heaven over somebody who repents, that must mean that they know what's going on down here. Is that not true? Is it not true? I said, I want you to participate with me this morning. Is that not so? All right. That means that they know what is going on here. Then in one of our text verses this morning, in that great 12th chapter of Hebrews and verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I'm going to dwell this morning on that word witnesses much of the sermon. Witnesses. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It likens there earth to an athletic field. It likens heaven to a great grandstand, a coliseum or stadium, much like the Rose Bowl or the Cotton Bowl or some great athletic stadium. And the people up in that stadium are folks that used to play down here on the earth. They once were participants. Now they have graduated to the Alumni Association, and they're up in the grandstand, and the Bible says they are witnessing us here on this earth. Now, don't leave me. The word witness there, we're talking about, by the way, in chapter 11, we have a number of people in heaven who are listed, such as Abraham and Moses and Elijah and Joseph and others are listed there. And then the first verse of chapter 12, which, by the way, should be a part of chapter 11. Wherefore, seeing we on earth are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that means Abraham is listening to preach this morning. That means Moses is aware of what I'm saying this morning. That means my mother is here this morning, and she's here more than she used to be when she sat right down here on the third or fourth row from the front, because she's with me all the time now, and they're witnesses. So the word witness there, don't leave me now, the word witness means one who sees, one who hears, and one who knows. Check the Greek word. It means the word witnesses, one who sees, one who hears, and one who knows. So Paul is saying in Hebrews 12:1 that Abraham, Moses, Joseph, and others in heaven see, don't leave me, hear, and know what's going on here on this earth. Is that true? Is that true? All right. Then that means that if that be true, that means that they can be made to rejoice. Is that true? It says there's joy in the presence of the angels. Every once in a while some preacher will say, oh, the angels will rejoice when somebody gets saved. That's not what that verse teaches. The angels may rejoice when somebody gets saved, but the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels. Now, who is in the presence of the angels? My mama's in the presence of the angels. The mothers of all you that stood a while ago, they're in the presence of the angels. And there's nothing could make your mother in heaven have a spell quicker or a bigger spell than you to get saved this morning, receive Christ as your Savior. But by the way, if you don't, she also can be grieved. If those are folks in heaven look down on earth, if they can rejoice because of good things, cannot they be grieved because of bad things? Why exactly so? In in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. And in the next verse, it tells what grieves the Holy Spirit. It says, wrath and friction, if you please, and gossip, and if we don't get along with each other, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Let's suppose, for example, that my lovely sister who's here this morning in the choir, let's suppose that that she and I had a falling out, and suppose that we would not speak to each other, then don't you think my mother up in heaven would grieve about that? All right. If the Holy Spirit grieves in heaven over folks not getting along with each other, then the truth is that our loved ones in heaven likewise can grieve. So they can be grieved by seeing, hearing, or knowing. I put it in poetry. I wrote this little poem about that. I read it to you. It's called When Heaven Responds to Earth. Can Adam's seed perform a deed to cause a stir in heaven? Can God's console be air controlled by earthly mortal leaven? Oh yes, 'tis true that what we do affecteth heaven's portals. For angels sing and timbrels ring by actions done by mortals. An earthbound man can lift his hand and direct heaven's chorus. And in his plan, we Christians can have angels working for us. God's blood-washed stone can stir his throne to mighty acclamation, then give decrees to silent trees to clap with adoration. The Christian's cries can organize a great angelic army for seraph's speed to meet the need when saved ones find it stormy. When man does sigh, he pulleth nigh the heart of his dear master. A whisper here can turn his ear and make his heart beat faster. A Christian may God's organ play by his own fleshly fingers, and often can employ God's hand when for his throne he lingers. And when he learns, his father yearns to be his private tutor, while in God's care a falling hair engageth his computer. Yet there's one thing that always brings the sons of chorus, as Asaph's choir does soon aspire to sing and hover o'er us. While angels sing, the loud harps ring with cherub adoration. Sweet notes are born from Gabriel's horn and heard through all creation. When saints are shouting all about and seraph's voices raising, a song's prepared to be compared with Magdalene praising. What is this ploy that bringeth joy? 'Tis when a dear soul winner bears precious seed to those in need and bringeth back a sinner. When Christians go to Mindelo and tell the old story, it is their bright hope to pull the rope that rings the bells of glory. Then angels shout and dance about, and heaven rings with laughter when one believes and hence receives God's gift of life hereafter. I'm trying to say this morning, up in heaven, they know what's going on down here on earth. Now then, let me ask you a few questions. If they can see, it says the word witness means to see and hear and know. To see and hear and know. Up in heaven, they see what goes on here, and they hear what goes on here. That means your saintly mother heard those dirty words you used this week. That means your godly father in heaven knows where you went last night. That means that your loved ones in heaven are watching you, and bless God, I don't want my mother to be ashamed of me when she looks down and sees her son living on earth. Now, if they can see, ask a question now, you're going to help me. If they can see, suppose I eat. Can they see me eat? Yes or no? Brother Keith, did you hear that? Suppose that I play. Can they see me play? Yes or no? Talk to me. Yes or no? All right. Suppose I work. I would not work. I tried working a half a day in 1938 and didn't like it, so I didn't do it anymore. Let's suppose I backslid and worked a half a day or so, or Brother Roy backslid and worked an hour or so. But let's suppose I did. Could they in heaven see me work? Yes or no? Yes or no? All right. Suppose I write. Suppose this morning I sit down at my desk and I write. Can they see what I write? Hey, don't leave me now. I'm going to show you something wonderful now. Can they in heaven see what I write? Yes or no? All right. Let me ask this question then. If I wrote a letter to Brother Colson, could my mother read it? Yes or no? The Bible says she's a witness. The Bible says she can see and hear and know what goes on earth. All right, let me ask this question. If I write a letter to one of them up there in heaven, suppose I wrote a letter to Dr. John R. Rice today. Could Dr. Rice read that letter? Yes or no? Well, then I think I'll drop him a line there once in a while. Yeah, and no postage is paid either. It's free of postage. I'm asking a question then. Suppose I wrote a letter to my mama. Could she read it? Yes or no? Hey, we're not going to have any seances around here. We're not going to have any conversation, two-way conversation with the dead around here, unless I talk to some of the fellows in the bass section for a while. We're not going to have that. That's godless. That's against the Bible. The Bible is against fortune tellers and soothsayers and so forth, and seances, whatever they are the devil. But is it not true then that if I, okay, I have in my pocket a little note I wrote to my mother this morning. Now, does she see what goes on down here? Yes or no? All right. Then did my mother read that note I wrote her this morning? Yes or no? Yeah. All right. Ask this question then. Suppose that I write a prayer. I often do that. I often write down a prayer and let God read it. And, all right, Coach John Wooden. I read this not long ago. I loved it. Coach John Wooden, the greatest basketball coach who ever lived. John Wooden, he's now, I guess he's in his 90s, I think. His wife has been gone for about 15 years. Every morning or every day, John Wooden writes a note to his wife. And he says, I love you and I miss you. And he places it on the pillow beside his pillow in the bed. That's the question. If his wife's in heaven, can she read that note? Yes or no? Yes, she can. All right. Then John Wooden says he never sleeps on that side of the bed. Her place is still there on that side of the bed. All right. Let me ask this question then. If they can hear, don't leave me now, if they can hear, Can my mother hear me preach this morning? Yes or no? Yes or no? All right. Let me ask you this question. When I talked to Mrs. Howes this morning on the way to church, was my mother able to overhear the conversation? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes, she was. All right. Ask you this question then. Could they hear me talk to them? When I went to the cemetery this morning, and looked up and said to my mother, I love you, and I thank you for all the sacrifices that you made for me. Did my mother hear what I said? So you say, well, now, what are you trying to say? You can talk to the dead? Wasn't talking to the dead. I was talking to the living. No, I don't believe in corresponding with the dead. And I don't believe that I have the capability. I don't have the ears yet to hear my mother talk back. But my mother has better ears than she used to have and better eyes than she used to have. And so my mother heard me this morning when I told my mother I loved her. Suppose then I wish Mama a happy Mother's Day. Suppose I said to my mother, as I did this morning at the cemetery, suppose I said, happy Mother's Day. Did my mother hear me? All right, then can I talk to my mother? Yeah. So we're going to have seances here tonight at the church at 7 o'clock. Now, sure, I can talk to my mother. Now, I can't hear her talk to me, but if she is a witness, that means she hears, she sees, and she knows what's going on here on earth. Hey, suppose I sang happy birthday as I did this morning, happy Mother's Day as I did this morning. Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother. Suppose I sang that at the cemetery. Did my mother hear me sing it? Yes, she walked away, but she heard me start it anyway. And, yes, she heard me sing. I'm trying to add some richness to your life. I don't know of anything that'd be worse than to be forgotten on earth. Did you know that Jesus, when he went back, he started the Lord's Supper because he wanted us to remember him? Now, pray tell me, don't you think it was a wonderful thing this morning when my mother knew that I remember her on Mother's Day? And I wrote her a little note and told her I loved her on Mother's Day. And I spoke to her at the cemetery and told her I loved her on Mother's Day and sang Happy Mother's Day to her. I'm trying to say, we've forgotten too much. We forget our mothers and forget our fathers. Well, my mother's a part of my conversation every day. And other loved ones in heaven, likewise, and friends in heaven are part of my conversation. Ask you this. Suppose I drove by my mother's apartment this morning where she once lived before she passed away. And I told her I loved her. Could she hear me? Yes or no? Could she hear me? Yes or no? All right. Suppose I, in Texas this week before last, suppose while I was there with a group of folks who won a contest, suppose that I went to the lunchroom where my mother used to work in a public school lunchroom. And suppose there in that lunchroom
for my mother used to work till her hands were bleeding red by working in the steam table there, and where she had walked for miles to be able to work for 50 cents a day. Suppose I went there and I said, thank you, mother, for sacrificing for me. Could my mother hear me? Yes or no? All right. Ask her this. Suppose I went to the place where Mrs. Hiles' mother died, and as I did this week and this morning, and thanked my mother-in-law for giving me my precious wife. Could my mother-in-law hear me? They're witnesses. You know, Dr. Rice used to say, folks aren't dumber in heaven than they are down here. If they could hear you here, they can hear you there. If they could see you here, they can see you there. I'm trying to tell you that they're not gone. They're more here today than they ever were. They can see everything we do, hear everything we say, know everything about us. I'm trying to say today, your mother, if she's in heaven, she's alive today. Suppose I went to the house where I met Dr. John R. Rice. As I did, we did, week before last. Suppose outside the house where I met John Rice or Mrs. Hiles, and I had a meal with him one night, and one of our church family who was related to one of his secretaries. Suppose that I said, thank you, Dr. Rice, for 22 years. You think Dr. Rice heard me? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes, he did. So that means I can still thank him. I can talk to him. Suppose I asked when I went to my Uncle Harvey's house, the man who influenced my life, maybe as much as anybody, we're at his house on last week, a week ago, Friday afternoon, we're at his house and stopped outside the house. And I said, Uncle Harvey, thank you for all you meant to me. You think my Uncle Harvey heard me? Yes or no? Okay, then don't forget them, ladies and gentlemen. And now, don't go around talking to the dead in the shopping center. You may get arrested. But I tell you what, you, as sure as there's a God in heaven today, those dear saints up in heaven know everything you do. They know what magazines you read this week. They know what dirty programs you watched on your stinking box this week. They know what music you listened to this week. Not only do they see what you do and hear what you say, but they know what you think. They know the bitterness in your heart. They know the revenge that you want to seek. They know the hurt feelings that you have. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, I am a participator on the ball field down here and the field of activity, and up there, all around there, are the loved ones who have gone on to heaven, and they see me. It makes me want to come back to church tonight. It makes me want to tithe when the offering plates are passed. It makes me want to sing the songs of God and do God's will. Why? I don't know why. Abraham watches you. Isaac watches you. Jacob watches you. Moses watches you. Jonah watches you. Noah watches you. Your mother watches you. Your father watches you. They're a part of your life this morning. There's something in the newspaper. Let's ask this question. Suppose I went back to the church that I pastored, as I did a week ago last Friday morning. And suppose I went up and sat in the seat where I used to sit there over 41 years ago, where I preached, the building that I built, our Lenin building. Suppose I sat there and remember the day when I was sitting here, and Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was sitting here, and Dr. John R. Rice was sitting here, and Lester Olof was preaching behind the pulpit. And I suppose I said, I love you, Dr. Rice. Do you think Dr. Rice heard me? Yes or no? Yes or no? I said, God bless you. I love you, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. You think he heard me? Yes or no? I said to my good friend Lester Olof, I love you, Lester. I call Dr. Rice, Dr. Rice, call Dr. Jones, I call Lester. I don't know why, but we sort of grew up together. I love you, Lester, and I thank you for all you meant to me. Did he hear me or not? I stand today on behalf of those who are in heaven that once lived here, and I say, let's not forget them. They watch us. Can't you think my mother's pleased this morning because I'm bragging on her? Don't you think Dr. Bob Jones and Dr. John Rice just enjoyed it when I said a few words about them? Don't you think that Brother Lester Ruloff appreciated me thinking about him. Jesus said, I'm going to heaven. Don't forget me. If Jesus is up there and he does not want to be forgotten, then don't you think your departed loved ones up there and don't want to be forgotten also? Now you listen to me. I don't know of any single thing that ought to lead you to a holy life than the fact that loved ones are watching what you do. Hey, college students, you got by with you breaking the rule, didn't you? And Brother Scott didn't see you, did he? And Brother Young didn't see you. And Brother Evans didn't see you. But God saw you, and your mama saw you, and your grandmama saw you, and Elijah saw you, and Moses saw you, and John the Baptist saw you, and beloved John saw you, and the Apostle Paul saw you. It's time Christians cleaned up their act because they're watching in the grandstand. There's a part of the Hammond Times I like. You'll buy this tape. You'll never hear that again. There's a part of the Hammond Times I like. I bought me a Hammond Times and read it this morning. It's a page this morning, more than one page, two or three pages, where people write little articles thanking departed loved ones. And this morning in the Hammond Times, I read such things as, thank you, Mother. You've been in heaven now for 3 years. Thank you for all you did for me. Signed, a child. Now, I think if that mother's in heaven, I think that mother read this. All that. Don't you? Yes or no? They're witnesses. They see. They hear. They know. And it's there, I guess, every day. But this morning, it was just full of notices saying, speaking. Say, John, we miss you here. You're a wonderful son. You've been gone 5 years now. You've been in heaven for 5 years. We miss you here. Don't you think John read that? Okay, then, don't forget him. I passed by Dr. John Rice's casket. I looked in the face of the man who's the dearest, closest, non-family man I've ever had. And I said, Dr. Rice, I promise you, I will not let the doctrine of the Holy Spirit die that you preached. Nor will I let the doctrine of soul winning die. I'll continue traveling around this country preaching on prayer and the Holy Spirit and soul winning and the total surrender to God. I'll not let it die. And every day of my life, I think of John Rice. And he knows I do because he's a witness. He sees what I do, hears what I say, and knows what I think. I'm trying to say this morning, ladies and gentlemen, there's a great cloud of witnesses there, and you can converse with them. Oh, by the way, every once in a while, I'm praying, and I'll say, Dear God, before I finish praying, tell Mama I love her. You reckon God hears me? He's away up in the house. You can't talk to those who are in heaven. Well, that's where God lives. That's where His throne is. And I'll say, Dear God, tell Mama, I love her. I sometimes sing, and I wish I could sing. When I sing, the angels weep, and heaven's flag is flown at half mast, and David won't play his harp anymore. And Miss Colson can't match my key. I'm a very versatile singer. I can sing all the keys in one song. But I often sing, when I was but a little child, how well I recollect how I would grieve my mother with my folly and neglect. But now that she has gone to heaven, I miss her tender care. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. Tell mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. This message, blessed Jesus, to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there. Heaven's joys with her to share. Oh, tell my darling mother I'll be there. Thank God for heaven today. Thank God for heaven. Hallelujah! There is a heaven. There are golden streets. There are gates of pearl. And that's where mama is. And that's where you can go if you so choose by faith in Jesus Christ. I must hasten quickly because it's 12 o'clock. It's going to get a little sticky here for a minute now. You say, okay, with the house, so far I can take that. You talk to your mama. Yeah, she can hear you. You talk to Dr. Wright. Okay, you'll take it. They also talk to me. I got your attention. Mama talks to me. You said your mama talks to you from heaven? No, no, no. I have a decision to make. I go alone. And I rethink what mama told me while she was here. It says in Hebrews 11:4, Abel, being dead, yet speaking. Do you think that means that I can hear Abel talk? No, sir. But Abel said some things while he was here that speak after he's gone. Not only am I thank my mother for what she taught me, but I listen to it day after day after day. Because I also tell you this. I was a poor boy. And I'm prone to feel inferior sometimes. I'm not, really, I'm superior. But I'm prone sometimes to feel inferior. There's sometimes I have trouble with inferiority complex. For the Colston, there's no trouble with a complex. He has trouble with inferiority. But I have trouble with that sometimes. And then I let my mother talk. I go back to that little shack on Ann Arbor Road and sit at mother's knee in that old red rocking chair and hear her say to me with a wood stove beside us, a kerosene lamp on the table and windows stuffed with papers to keep the winter's winds out. My mother, that red chair, she says, son, you're as good as anybody. She said, we don't rest as nicely as others, and we don't eat as nicely as others, and our house is not very nice, but you're as good as anybody. You're as good as anybody. Son, you're made in the image of God. You're God's child, and you're as good as anybody. I'm simply saying, not only do I speak to my mother, but I let her speak to me the things that she spoke while she was yet alive. There's one thing you can do this morning to make your mama happy and the best Mama's Day present you'll ever give. And that is, as your mother looks down from the heavenly grandstand today, if you've never trusted Christ, she's up there looking down right now saying, come on, son. Come on, son. Say yes to Jesus today. Come on up here, son. Come on up here. Don't go to hell, son. Come on up here. It's wonderful up here. There are golden streets and gates of pearl, and the angels sing, and Jesus is here. Come on up here, son. The minute you step out from your seat and walk toward that aisle and down the front, your mama's going to have a conniption fit backwards. She's going to do cartwheels in heaven, shouting and praising God. That isn't all. Some of you folks are just barely living a Christian life. Barely are. Just Sunday morning glories, and you fold your petals after Sunday morning. Your mother would have a wonderful time in heaven if she'd see you still out for God. I'll close with this. I never preach a sermon ever, anywhere, wherever I am, without, as I walk out, stopping to realize who's watching me. I never prepare a sermon without stopping to realize who's going to be listening to that sermon Sunday morning. Oh, you say, Brother House, did you preach to 5 or 6 or 7,000 people? Oh, no! I preached to 5 or 6 or 7 million people this morning. Because the heavenly witnesses are there. And my mama's there. It's Mother's Day. If I wore a flower today, it'd be a white flower, not a pink or red flower. It'd be a white flower. But my mother's here. I look at that little space back there on the third row where Mother used to sit, sometimes the second or third or fourth. And I can't see her there this morning. But she's here. She's here. And this morning I told her I loved her. And I sang Happy Mother's Day to her. And I wrote a little note and let her read the little note on Mother's Day. This morning, the loved ones in heaven are watching. They're waiting to see what you do. If you've never trusted Christ, they want you to say yes to Christ. They want you to go to heaven where they are and join them in the celestial city. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. She would sit in that chair, rocking to and fro, in the old red rocking chair. She would sit. Only chair we had, really, in only 2 rooms we had, but only chair we had other than a few in the kitchen. And Mother would sing, Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of the cloudless day. Oh, the land of the unclouded day. She'd sing it and open the Bible to me and read the Bible, and then she'd pray with me. And I'd kneel at her knees, and like this, I'd kneel at Mother's knees, and I'd say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Bless Mommy, Daddy, Earlene, Jack, and everybody. Make me a good little boy. Amen. Why don't you decide to live to please the saints of God on the other side today? Why don't you decide to be a better participant on the battlefield? All the witnesses who know, see, and hear are observing what we do. Would you bow your head?